Good morning, and welcome to the broadcast of the First Christian Church of Pittsfield. The First Christian Church of Pittsfield is committed to reach, teach, and empower people with the life-changing message of the gospel of Jesus Christ. The First Christian Church is located at 225 North Memorial Street in Pittsfield. Our phone number is area code 217-285-4129. Our service times are Sunday morning at 8 a.m. and at 10:30 a.m. in the sanctuary, and also a modern worship service, the Sunday Morning Oasis, at 9:15 in the Crossroads Gymnasium. Every Sunday morning, there is Sunday school offered for all ages at 9:15 and a Sunday school class for adults in a high school small group at 8 a.m. For more information or service times, you can visit our website at www.fccpittsfield.org or just simply contact the church office. Thank you for joining us this morning, and may God bless you.
Now, this past week, some of you may have read in the local paper that we had a drama in our household. My daughter, Lainey, she had a necklace, and on her necklace, she had a little cross that I gave her when she was crucified. When she was three services, folks, when she was baptized, and my wife had also given her a little locket, and so she liked to wear that. It was very special to her, and she wore it to school, and she walked home from school, and I guess she took her book bag and shifted shoulders with it, and when she got home, she looked, and the chain was there, but the clasp had pulled apart, and she had lost those two things. So she was kind of beside herself and pretty upset, and they spent a good amount of time going back and forth, retracing their steps back between the school. We don't live very far from the school. So when I got home, Lainey was like, look, what can we do? And I said, well, I'll go walk with you and we'll go try to take a look ourselves. We went to the corner of the property and we stopped to pray. Now, I have to admit, I felt a little awkward and nervous about praying about finding a lost necklace. And that sounds bad to say, I know. But in the back of my mind, I was like, man, if we pray for this and she doesn't find it, is this going to become a faith crisis for her later? And I mean, after all, prayer is a tool that we use to manipulate God to do our desires, isn't it? Yeah. Well, look, there are books and books. If we want to be honest, there are books and books out there that seem to imply just that. That prayer is somehow something that we use to get what we want, desire, or need. Hold that thought. In our prayer, Lainey and I's prayer, we asked for wisdom as well as for success in finding the necklace that meant so much to her. But we were unsuccessful. We looked and looked and looked, and we were not able to find it. And then that afternoon, she kind of came up to me, and she had written a little post, and she had showed her mom. She's like, I want to put this on social media and see if anybody had seen this, if they could put it out. And we're not really comfortable with a lot of that stuff and personal information, and yet we decided to go ahead because we've seen it work before. So she posted it. Within 2 hours, there was over 100 shares. A little snot's more popular than me. And so, you know, and so I began to think about it, you know, and I was like, okay, so she put this thing, it got shared, it went, you know, around, and I thought about this, and I mean, was that wisdom? You know, we prayed for wisdom. That's debatable. It's debatable. We're going to come back to that story. The point is, I felt so awkward about praying for that. And that says an awful lot about our concept. How we approach prayer says an awful lot about our concept of God. It reveals our base theology. How we pray and how we go to God and pray. And I have a confession to make to everybody here today. And this, you know, if this makes me look bad, well, that's just how it is. Sometimes prayer doesn't come easy to me. Well, you know, so what are we to do? How do we know if we're praying correctly? There's some good news. The Bible is not silent about prayer, and nor is Jesus silent about prayer. So for the next several weeks, we're gonna examine Jesus' teaching on prayer, and we're going to use Luke 11 and Matthew chapter 6 as our launching points for our discussions. These are a familiar portion of Scripture that you probably have seen and you probably know, called the Lord's Prayer. So let's read Luke 11 and let's see the setting of Jesus's teaching on prayer. Because you know what? Sometimes, if you're like me, you read things, you've heard things being in church a long time. And then when you begin to study the background and the setting, it totally changes what you thought of that particular verse or this teaching, okay? Luke 11, verse 1. I want everybody really loudly to read this verse together. Ready? 1, 2, 3. Jesus was praying in a certain place, and when he finished, one of his disciples said to him, "Lord, teach us to pray as John taught his disciples." Okay, something jumps out at me at that point. First of all, the disciples were watching Jesus praying. And there was something about how Jesus prayed and what Jesus was doing that was different. Okay, because it wasn't like the disciples didn't pray. It wasn't like they're just a bunch of messed up heathen who never prayed. They prayed, but there was something about Jesus that was unique, just like there was something different about John. So Jesus, the same way, is doing something different. His disciples see him praying in a different way, and they want to know something about it. They want to understand it. And so they go to him and say, "Hey, Lord, teach us to pray." So what was different? What was so different about how Jesus was praying that was kind of revolutionary at the time? What was different? Well, the good news is we can begin to find that in Matthew chapter 6. Because as Jesus begins his teaching on prayer, he doesn't just jump right into it. He begins with a kind of a compare contrast. And he starts with a what not to do. Matthew chapter 6, verses 5 through 8. Here's what Jesus said. He said, and when you pray, you must not be like the for they love to stand and pray in the synagogue and at the street corners, that they may be seen by others. Truly, I say to you, they have received their reward. But when you pray, go into your room and shut the door and pray to your Father who's in secret. And your Father who's in secret will reward you. When you pray, do not heap on empty phrases the Gentiles do, for they think that they'll be heard for their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask him. So Jesus then gives them a model of prayer, if you will. Now, true confession time. And for the next few moments, I would ask that you give me some room without getting offended. Okay? Everybody gets nervous when I say that. Because truth be known, I sometimes really struggle with the quote-unquote Lord's Prayer. As if somehow Jesus was teaching a mantra or an incantation to invoke a divine blessing. As if sometimes that when we say the Lord's Prayer, it's like Aladdin taking a lamp and rubbing the lamp and poof, the genie shows up. As if there's some magic words, and if we say these words together, that somehow that's going to make some difference. Guess what? They are words. There's something beyond the words that's what's important. Some of you right now are getting a little white knuckle. Are you attacking the Lord's Prayer? No, I'm challenging the heart behind any of our trends, our traditions, that we understand it. I believe what Jesus is pointing to is something more. Because I don't believe Jesus was teaching words. I think he was teaching a model. Three questions for you about prayer that I really believe if you ask yourself these questions, it's going to transition your prayer life. Okay? It's going to transition your prayer life. Because prayer is really, really important. In fact, at the end of last year, going into this year, we as a church leadership, we fasted and we prayed and we said, "God, what is your direction for 2016? And one of the things that came out of that time of consecration was this, was the Lord saying, "You have to take prayer in the church, in First Christian Church, to another level." And that doesn't just mean corporately, that means individually. For us to be successful in what God has called us to do as a body of believers, as a church family unique in this community, it's going to require a greater level of prayer. We use this phrase that we took from Dare to Share from the Lead the Cause University. Prayer needs to become the engine that drives, not the caboose that. And prayer must become the engine that drives, not the caboose that follows. So prayer is important. First question is this. Where do I stand? Looking at Jesus' teaching on the Lord's Prayer in Matthew chapter 6, where do I stand? Because Jesus says, hey, look, when you pray, don't be like the hypocrites. They're standing in the corners. They want to be seen. It's all about other people's perception with them. And here's the problem. What's a hypocrite? What's a hypocrite? Everybody's afraid to say. Okay, someone says, yeah, our English definition of a hypocrite is someone who says one thing and does another. Here's an interesting thing. If you get to the Greek about the particular word usage here, they're relating to something like an actor or someone, a pretender who is making a recitation. Like a play actor. You know, you go to a play and there's someone who pretends to be a part and they have a script and they do their part, but they're not really that. My son was not King Triton. I mean, I know Madison Palmer, she did a fantastic, she wasn't really a mermaid. It just broke the illusion, I'm sorry. She's fantastic, she's amazing, but there's one thing to pretend. And what the trouble is sometimes we approach prayer and we're pretending to be Christians. We're pretending, we're going before God with a pretense, with something that's not really there. And so, you know, when you ask people to come to church, they say this, I'm not going to go to church. Why? Because the church is full of... I never, ever, 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 ever deny that. Because you know what? If I'm a sick person, I'm going to go to a hospital. If I say I'm not going to the hospital because it's a bunch of sick people, duh, but they're getting better. And that's what church is supposed to be, is yeah, we welcome, all hypocrites are welcome, all imperfect people, people who have an issue, you're welcome to come to church. Now, if you want to hold on to your issue more than you want God, that's where we're going to begin to have a problem. So we're encouraging that these individuals, their words are out of sync with their lifestyle. Their words and their prayers don't translate to what's going on inside of their lives. And the truth is that happens. That's revealed in our prayers. A lot of these people, they were more worried about and they were concerned about others' perception. Now, I have to be honest with you. Again, prayer is sometimes stressful. I was asked a couple years ago to go to open the Senate in prayer, and I was kind of nervous. I was kind of nervous about that. I remember one time in Dallas, I was asked to pray in Dallas, and it was like 10,000 people, and I was like, okay, it's fine for, you know, 50, 60, 70 people, maybe even 100 people. But when you get a big crowd, I was nervous and I was ashamed of myself because what was going on in my head was I'm worried about what everyone else is going to think about me. What if I pray wrong or incorrectly or I mess up a word or I have a frog in my throat? And people are going to think, well, he's not very good. Someone asks you to pray before a meal or pray at a church gathering. I don't want to pray. Why? Well, if I pray wrong, what's going to happen? Everybody's going to get food poisoning? Really? Now, I'm trying to enter a base in a very, very real conversation that myself included, most of us, when we talk about prayer, we're more worried about everyone else's perception of us. And Jesus is kind of getting saying, where does that come from? Because it's got nothing to do with prayer. In fact, when the disciples saw Jesus praying, they were longing for what Jesus was doing. And he wasn't worried about what anyone else thought, now was he? Concerned about others' perception. The truth is, you know, sometimes that we struggle with that in prayer. And he goes on to say in verse 7, and when you pray, do not heap on empty phrases as the Gentiles do, for they think that they're going to be heard by their many words. He's saying, you know, if you're praying and it's a show-off time, if you're just trying to pray so that everyone is going to think that you have a relationship with God that you don't really have, guess what? Your reward is just that. Perception is its own reward. If you want to be seen, that's what your reward is. He's pointing to something different. It's not about the number of words. It's not about the flowery speech. It's not about any of those things. If that's what you're after, what others think, that's its own reward. So Jesus is saying we have to check our heart. We have to do something different. It has to be sincere. It has to be personal. And this is why I sometimes struggle with the simple recitation of the Lord's Prayer without a deep understanding. I worry about it sometimes. I do. Is it just a tradition? Is it just flowery speech? Is it a group of words that make us feel churchy or make us feel religious? Now, some of you right now are like, leave us alone, Pastor, and your blood pressure is starting to go just a little bit higher and higher and higher. You're out. That's the last straw. You try to take the Lord's Prayer and Ethel, start the car. We're out of here. No, I'm not trying to take any tradition. I'm trying to challenge that we understand. Traditions are not bad. They're not evil. They're not horrible. But we have to have a deep connection to understand what Jesus was doing. I do not believe that the Lord's Prayer is a set of words. I believe it's a model. In fact, if we want to see what the Lord's Prayer actually was, it's in John 17. That's when Jesus prayed. If we want to have something, this would be a model of the disciples' prayer. Now, I'm not bashing on this. Please, don't at all think that I'm trying to malign the Lord's Prayer at all. I'm trying to get us an understanding so that as we do it, it is not a vain repetition. It is not flowery words. It's not just something we say that we are bringing ourselves into agreement. So I'm challenging those things. Where do I stand? Am I being a hypocrite? Or am I being sincere? Because think about the words in the Lord's Prayer. Thy kingdom come. Ooh, son. Thy will be done. When it lines up with what I want. On earth as it is in heaven. We're going to get into that in this next few weeks. We're going to take a long time. So where do I stand? Am I standing in the place of hypocrisy? You know what? Let's just call it out. Let's just call it out. And that way we can get better. Second question is this. What doors are open? Now, in verse 6, Jesus says, when you pray, in Matthew 6:6, when you pray, go into your room, shut the door, pray to your Father who's in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you. Does this mean that we are not to pray together? No, it does not mean that, because several times Jesus talks about praying and talks about us praying for one another and coming together in His name, and as we gather in His name, He's there with us. He talks about us asking and coming into agreement. So it's not about that we should not pray together. It's that there's something about, if your Sunday morning is all your prayer, honey, you got a problem. If your Sunday morning prayers, or if your small group time, if that's it, sister, we got to have a conversation. If this is all it is, there's something more. You need to develop a personal time with God. You need to shut the door on everything else. If church is even the majority of your spiritual connection with God, you need to check your heart and learn to shut the door. Everybody say, shut the door. See, take Jesus' instructions and learn to get alone. And you're going to have to do this. Now, there are times when I seek God in prayer, and I live in a house with a lot of livestock, okay? I got some animal lovers. I have two Siamese cats that I really wanted and I loved, and I grew up with Siamese cats, and I'm kind of like a cat person. I was like, yeah, let's get these Siamese cats. So we rescued Siamese cats. I'm the one who wanted the cats. Guess who the cats ignore? They like everybody in the house, except me. Ingrates. And and then they taunt me. They're like, I'm so pretty. And I'm like, you're so pretty. Can I pet you? They're like, oh, come pet me. I'm like, I'm going to come pet you. And I get up to pet them and they walk away. And they'll go up to my daughter and they'll jump and they'll knead on her chest and they'll nuzzle her. And I'm like, seriously? Okay. Except in the middle of the night, when I get up to pray, I'll go and I'll find my place and I'll like have something on my mind and I'll just be like pouring my heart out to God, and I'll say, oh, what the? It's a cat and they attack me, and if they're Satan, they're devil. Ah! That's when they decide they want all the love. Why is it that everything begins to distract you when you try to press towards God? Does anybody ever notice that? Why is it that your car breaks? Why is it that everything breaks down? Why is it your kids all of a sudden just go crazy on you? Why is it that, you know what? There are some times at lunchtime, that's kind of a me time, and there are times that I go to pray, and people who never, ever, 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 ever call or ever text or have anything, the times that I say, you know what? I'm not going to have lunch today. I'm going to go pray. Boom! My phone explodes. Oh, please. I got to learn to turn off the phone. Thank you. To shut the door. Shut the door. Guard your time. How many of you in this room today would like a better prayer life? Raise your hand. A better prayer life. Yeah. Okay. How many of you would say, I need, and God wants me to have a better prayer life? Anybody? Yeah. Super, super great. And the number one thing when I say, would we like to pray more? People say, I don't. Why? I guarantee you this. If I said, hey, look, I guarantee you $1 million if you'd spend 15 minutes a day doing this, you'd be doing it now, wouldn't you? Yeah, we'd be doing it. And we wouldn't just be doing it. We'd be spreading the word about it too. Yeah. So you have to learn to shut the door. You have to learn to guard that time. And there are going to be distractions. You know, one of the distractions is worrying about what everyone else thinks. Jesus didn't do that. And his instructions to us are to shut the door, then we can go to this. Now, this is an interesting thing, though. This is a very interesting thing. He says here, your Father knows what you need. What does it say? Before you do what? If he knows what we need before we ask, why do we need to ask? Maybe because prayer isn't about asking. Maybe, just maybe, that's not what prayer's really all about. Prayer is not about request. Prayer is about relationship. There are requests, but that's not what it's about. Because he already knows what you need before you ask him. So why does he want us to ask him? I know we're like that lady. We're like the lady who tells all of her office workers that she's going on a diet. And then the next day she shows up with a double chocolate cream cake and walks into the office. And they're like, is that on your diet? She said, yeah, it's the Lord's will for me to have this cake. And she said, really? Why? She said, well, I was driving by a bakery and I saw it in the window and I thought, Lord, and I prayed, Lord, if you want me to have this cake, then open up a parking space right in front of the bakery. And the person said, well, did a space open up? And says, yes, it did. The 10th time around the block, a space opened right up there. Ha ha, but sometimes we're kind of like that, impressing our will. You see, that's not prayer. Not like what Jesus is relating to. Jesus, when he prayed things like this. Father, if it be your will, take this cup from me. Did the cup pass from him? No. So prayer is about something more than Aladdin rubbing his lamp. And we just saying, hey, I'd like this, I'd like that, fix this, keep all my enemies away, and oh yeah, let the Cubs lose. I tell you what, they're a good team this year. They're a good team this year. So those are the first two questions. Question number one is, where do I stand? Do I stand in the place of hypocrisy? Question number two is, look, what doors are open? What doors do I need to shut? But all of these pale in comparison to the third question. And I admit right now that this question is a bit aggressive. And for those of you who think I'm going over the top, well, then I ask for your forgiveness. But I feel like I have to ask this question. And before I ask this question, let me set it up with a story. I try to volunteer. I love the kids who my kids hang out with. I kind of consider them my kids to a certain extent. I like being involved with them. I like talking with them. I like learning about them. I like being encouraging to them. I enjoy that. And I like going and volunteering at the schools. Years ago when my kids were at South, I went and I read a book to one of my kids' classes. And my child came up to me and they grabbed me when I was done. And they said, thanks, Dad, for coming and reading. And I said, that's great. And next thing I knew, I felt this other thing on my leg. And I looked around. There's this other kid. I have no idea who this kid was. And he grabbed my leg and he said, thanks, Dad. And I was like, who are you? He's like, okay, well, I'm glad you come. He's like, no thanks, Dad. And then he ran around and he was like all over the place. I was like, sit down. He's just like all over the place. It's like, and he kept coming back and he's like, Dad. And he's just kind of dripping on. And I was like, okay, sit down. And just went. And I wasn't trying to be mean, but I was like, who are you? Really, who are you? Because you're not reflecting any of how I act. And a little alarmed here. Now that sounds bad, but hang with me. I hadn't thought about that story till this week. Had not thought about that story till this week. And here's why. As I began to study the Lord's Prayer, and I this is how far I got in my studies. Our Father. That's how far I got. And then I've been all over the place. Because this, I am afraid that there are times that people are frustrated in prayer because they're kind of like that. They don't have a relationship with God. The third question is the most important question. It's foundational for anything. Because guess what? Prayer makes no sense without this first question. Prayer makes no sense. In fact, church makes no sense. It becomes a social club more concerned with fundraisers and chicken dinners than it does about the gospel of Jesus Christ. Because we're looking for meaning outside of what the meaning of what the church was established. Here's the question. Is He my Father? Nothing makes any sense without that one. In Luke chapter 11, verse 1. And two, the disciples see Jesus praying. They go to Him. Lord, teach us to pray as John taught His disciples. And here's what Jesus said. And He said to them, when you pray, say, Father. This was the uniqueness of Jesus coming and the uniqueness in His prayer. He was not praying to an unknown, distant God behind a veil, shrouded in smoke and fire, but to His Father, to His Daddy in heaven, with whom He had relationship. And relationship takes time to build, and I'm calling us all to begin to build it. If you haven't shut the door, you need to get in that place and learn and talk to Dad, just like you would talk to a friend. And develop that relationship. I have a difficult time talking to somebody who I don't know. But somebody who I do know, I can talk with for hours. Someone who I'm developing a relationship with, I can talk to for hours. So what do we do here? You know, to be honest, that's the reason Jesus came. Luke 19:10 says the Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost. And there are lost people. There are lost people who are going around just like that kid. They're trying to go to God. They're not in relationship with Him, and they're getting frustrated. They're getting frustrated, and they can call Him Father, but they're really not. And Scripture says, in fact, Jesus says, many are going to come to Me on that day, talking the end of the age, and say, Lord, Lord. And He's going to say, I never knew you. Now, this is not a conviction, condemnation time. This is not you didn't do this well enough. This is simply this. God wants more of you. And I pray you want more of God. And how we have our relational connection with Him is this wonderful thing called prayer. Talk with Him. Be just base with Him. Communicate with your Father. And you know what? If you are in relationship with God and you understand it, you're going to be so full of joy that it's going to begin to reflect. You're going to want to share that. He came to seek and to save the lost. In fact, if you look at John chapter 17 of how Jesus Himself prayed, He didn't pray focusing on Himself. He prayed for God to be glorified. It's what I had Michelle read this morning. That was part of the Lord's Prayer. That's how He prayed. Father, glorify Yourself. Glorify Yourself. Be glorified. And then He prayed that people would come to Him and come to unity. Read it this week. We can't go into the Lord's Prayer without getting that first word answered. Who's your daddy? Not whose church are you a member of? Not do you work hard? Not are you a good person? Not do you try hard? Not are you generous? Not are you faithful? Not even are you sorry for your mess ups? Nothing goes beyond this simple fact. Have you received Him as your Lord and your Savior? Is He your daddy? That's where it all begins. And Jesus' teaching on prayer is all about relationship. And if we get it, here you go. If we get it, it will make a difference in our lives, and you're going to want to share it. You're going to want to share it. Let me recapitulate. My daughter lost a necklace, and over 100 people, some of who didn't know her, shared it in hopes that something lost would be found. It was a necklace. It meant a lot to her. It was found. I'm really happy for that. She's very happy for that. That precious thing of hers that was lost, that meant so much, was found. But I wonder how many precious people are lost that are next door to us, that are around us, that are friends, that are family, that are people around us. Are you willing to share the message of Christ? Are you willing to be part of them being found? You see, that's a great place to begin our conversation with our Father.
The First Christian Church of Pittsfield is committed to reach, teach, and empower people with the life-changing message of the gospel of Jesus Christ. The First Christian Church is located at 225 North Memorial Street in Pittsfield. Our phone number is area code 217-285-4129. Our service times are Sunday morning at 8 a.m. and at 10:30 a.m. in the sanctuary, and also a modern worship service, the Sunday Morning Oasis, at 9:15 in the Crossroads Gymnasium. Every Sunday morning, there is Sunday School offered for all ages at 9:15 and a Sunday School class for adults in a high school small group at 8 a.m. For more information or service times, you can visit our website at www.fccpittsfield.org or just simply contact the church office. Thank you for joining us this morning, and may God bless you.